This makan, although it's not my property, I have usurped it. Oh, it is because it is the land of Allah, I could pray here. But that prayer is batil, is void. You cannot pray on a property that is, you know, is haram for you. A shirt or a clothing, you know, I had some najasat, or, you know, I had drops of alcohol on my clothing, and I'm praying with that, which is najis. Cannot. Or a property which we just mentioned is usurped, the shirt that makes haram. So therefore, the zikrullah akbar, which the ayah is pointing out to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says that this zikrullah indama ahalla aw harrama akbaru min as-salat. You know, the halal and haram near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is greater than the salat itself. The other aspect of the zikr, because we will be discussing a bit about zikr today, I will mention that at that time. You know, inshallah. Now, وَلَذِكُرُ اللَّهِ الْأَكْبَرِ, and after that, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ, and therefore Allah knows what you do. So when I'm establishing that prayer, Allah knows what type of khulus that I have in it. Allah is aware of that. You know, I cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person might be establishing prayer, but he is establishing prayer in order that, for example, just show that he is praying. As many people used to pray behind the Prophet, or munafiq. You know, before the battle of Tabuk, where the Prophet was going towards the Rome to fight Hercules, you know, the kingdom of Rome, right? The Abdullah ibn Ubay, you know, who were known as the companions, who were the head of the fitna and nifaq, you know, they said, Prophet, you know, you inaugurate the masjid. They make beautiful big masjid, which was the masjid of the munafiqeen, which the Quran clearly says, destroy this masjid. This masjid is zirar, right? Masjid barachi, for what? Masjid for namaz, for salat. But Allah says, I know, you know, who are the true establisher of these prayers, you know, what they have in there, who do nifaq, so on and so forth. Well, I think the time is a bit short, but however, I wanted to cover the set of other verses of the Quran, which goes from actually verse number 46 to 49. Now, this is a set of verses. I will just briefly mention that, and probably will look into more detail later on, maybe tomorrow, because the time for lecture is started or will start now. The next four verses, after giving this command to the Prophet that you recite what have been revealed to you, establish prayers. Now, the Quran is addressing the Ahle Kitab, and while addressing the Ahle Kitab, he says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلِ كِتَاب إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَن. Do not do jidal. Do not dispute. Now, previously it was talking about the mushrikeen and the kuffar, and the Quran was very harsh, the way it was speaking to them. The tone was very different. But now, as the Quran is speaking to, or the Prophet is speaking to the Ahl-e Kitab now, right? It is saying that, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا, you know, do not dispute, you know, with the Ahl-e Kitab. But illa billati hi ahsan, you know, you speak to them, dispute with the followers of the book except by what is best, in a nice way. You know, with ahsan you speak to them. Now, I'll just mention one point here, especially for the Indo-Pak community. Maybe they are more inclined towards this la'anat aspect. The Quran is saying to Ahl-e Kitab that you do not dispute and speak to them in a kind way, in the best way. Tujadilu. No, do not do jidal with them. Do not sort of dispute with them. But in a kind way, nice way, you know, discuss with them, speak to them, you know, show them the arguments. And the way how he says, the Prophet says, we believe in that which has been revealed to us. A nice way, we believe in what have been revealed to you, we believe in the books, we believe in your prophets as well, right? And then after that, and our God, your Lord, our God, your Lord as well. Look how beautifully the discussion is, how nicely the Prophet is attracting, and how Quran is teaching us to really treat the Ahl Kitab in this nice fashion, right? You know, our God and your God is one. One God, right? And to Him do we submit, and we submit to Him. This is the approach, this is the methodology taught by the Quran, by the Prophet, and by Masumeen, alayhim salam, when they used to speak to, you know, the Mushrikeen, to Kuffar, to Ahl Kitab, in patience, sabr, in the nicest and the best way. So now, when the Quran is asking us to Ahl Kitab to speak in this fashion, but when we come to 1, 2, and 3, we become like, how we lose our, you know, temper, and we say whatever comes in our mouth. Is that Nahwe Ahsan? You know, that is in the best way that we are trying to read. They are our brothers, you know. Compared to, for Ahl Kitab, the Quran is so careful. And as a priority, we should be more careful in that sense, you know, when we are dealing with them. Obviously, you know, Tabarra is part and parcel of our Iman. Our Iman is incomplete without that, right? And we have to do that. But there is a proper way of doing it. And the Imam and the Ahlul Bayt have taught us. You know, when we go to Hajj, we have to hit the stone, the shaitan, which we pick from Muzdalifa. But we do see over there, when we go, people go crazy. Whatever they have in their hand, shoes, umbrellas, mihram, they started throwing, right? But any of that is accepted? They can throw hundreds of rocks and bricks they could bring from Dallas, right? It's not accepted. You have to pick the pebbles from Muzdalifa, and seven of them you have to hit there. You throw shoes, you throw umbrella stones, it's not accepted, right? Yes, La Tabarra is part and parcel of it. But there's a way taught by our Imams to do Tabarra. And we have to follow that. We have to be within that sort of parameters. We can't really, you know, extend or add things thinking that, oh, it will be more sawab or better. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi ta'ala.
Allah salli ala Muhammad wa ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi awwalihi bila awwalin kana qablah wa akhirihi bila akhirin yakunu ba'da alladhi qasurat an ru'yatihi absaru an-nazirin وأجزت أن نأته أوهام الواسفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وتبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم أجمعين من أعلان إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله في حديث معراج قال الله قال يا أحمد هل تعلم ما ميراث الصوم قال لا قال ميراث الصوم قلة العقل وقلة الكلام. The hadith of Miraj we started discussing in order to understand the value of fasting. When Prophet went on Miraj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet, do you know what is the mirath, what is the heritage, or what is the remaining, the reminder of fasting, what remains from fasting, the essence of fasting? Prophet says, I don't know. Then Allah replies that it is, you know, eating less and speaking less. Then, do you know what brings about speaking less and eating less? Allah said, speaking less and eating less will bring about hikmat, wisdom. When a person speaks less, when a person eats less, hikmat will be provided to them. When hikmat is provided to them, he will be given ma'rifat. He will have the understanding and knowledge through hikmat. When he gains ma'rifat, he will attain yaqeen. You know, he will have certainty. You know, after ma'rifat is the level of certainty. When he attains yaqeen, he will be given the station of those who are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, those who are radi. Ar-radiin. You know, those who are radi. When they have yaqeen, they are, you know, carefree. They don't worry how they make morning. You know, because they have yaqeen. They don't really care who is the provider of risk and so on and so forth. Then this is the maqam of those who are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the station. But where it starts from fasting. It takes you to the level of those who are radiallahu anhum wa radwan, right? They are the one who are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also pleased with them. So when they reach to that maqam, that station, that they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says in Hadith al-Mi'raj that I will provide them with thalathat al-khisal. You know, three qualities will be given to them. The first of the quality that will be provided to them is a quality where they will do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any ignorance. This is where we stopped. That they will have the opportunity to thank God without any ignorance. Their thanksgiving will be a true thanksgiving. And we kind of cross-reference this with the dua of Rajab that we recite. Allahumma inni asaluka sabra shakirina lak. O Allah, provide me with the patience of the shakirin. You know, that type of shukr. Because those who are sabir, those who are, you know, enduring patience, they have full knowledge of. They are fully aware of. Right? And when they have knowledge, they are not ignorant, then that type of shukr is valuable. So we also gave the examples of, you know, Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and Imam Hussain alayhi salam as well. That even after facing so much of, you know, turmoil, so much of, you know, difficulties, problems, still they were thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, every moment they were thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a type of thanking without any ignorance. It's with full knowledge, with full understanding. And that is why, you know, we find that today Islam have remained. The second quality that he will achieve is a quality that is وَذِكْرًا لَا يُخَالِتُ النِّسْيَانِ. A dhikr in which he will not have any sort of forgetfulness. Nisyan. Insan comes from nisyan. You know, insan, the name itself as we read, as we recite, which points out to that very fact, and that is, you know, being forgetful. You know, that's what it is in insan, that he is forgetful of. Now, it is a halat, it is a state that we've been asked to come out of. Man is always forgetful, and he needs to come out of this state of forgetfulness so that he remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet says that men are asleep, but when they die, they wake up. You know, after dying, you know, because after dying, they see the reality. There's no point of being forgetful there. They are seeing the truth, right? So after they basically die, they became aware of. Now, as Amirul Mumineen Ali ibn Abi Talib mentions,
In one of the du'as, which is Munadat al-Shabaniya, we ask, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ilahi, قَدْ أَفَنَيْتُ أُمْرِي فِي سَحْوَةِ أَنْكَ. My age, I have spent my age in forgetfulness, in sahv. You know, I've been forgetful. And Hazrat Amir is asking aid and help in the munajat. This is how I lived. This is how I have been. Obviously, once again, you know, for our youth, for our youngsters, this is pointing out to that it's a mode of teaching. Although Hazrat Amir, you know, is the one who, as we mentioned, I saw everything, nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the level of his is that before, after, with, he's seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he's teaching us, but at the same time, there are different levels of wujud. There are different levels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, he might be seeing the very existence of God before a thing, with a thing, and after a thing. But that very existence of God has its own level, has its own maratib. Why is it on the 19th night, Hazrat Amir is trembling? Is he afraid of death? Where we have seen that he has clearly mentioned, death to me is more sort of, I long to death more than a babe, more than a baby long towards the breast of a mother. You know, he liked death so much. But Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, on the 19th, he's shaking. And he's saying, O Ali, get ready for death. Because when a person dies, when a person disconnects from this dunya, the manifestations or the jalal and the jamal, the azamat, the sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is disclosed to him is completely different. That is disclosed to him in this dunya. Even in this dunya as well, when Allah shows himself, what happened to Musa? You know, وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى سَلَاسِينَ لَيْتًا لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. You know, Musa went there, asked for 40 nights, 30 nights, 10 nights were increased because of, you know, the communication that Musa and Allah had. And finally, Musa asked, O Allah, I would like to see you. And Allah said, Musa, what did you ask? It was very difficult. Obviously, Allah cannot be seen, right? And this is something that Bani Israel were continuously asking Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, right from the time of Pharaoh. You know, how come we do not have a God like how the, you know, Pharaoh have? That they have a tangible God. They could see God. They could worship. So, O Musa, let's show us or make us an idol that we could worship. That's why they fall for the trap of Samiri, right? You know, the golden calf that Samiri made, right? Not even that, after seeing all of the miracles, the Tissa, the 9 miracles, they did not land it on the ground after crossing the river Nile, and they were going through a village. They saw in that village people were worshipping in a temple. Then they come to Musa and they say, Musa, look how nice it looks. And we want to have a God like this. Musa said, after showing all the miracles, after teaching you, God cannot be seen. Still, you know, troubling me, right, with that. You know. So the same way, Musa alayhi salam says, Oh Allah, I want to see you. This was something, right? And look at the beauty that Allah did not say that, you know, you cannot see me, Musa. What are you talking about? Allah said, okay, fine. You want to see me, Musa? Why don't you sit at the, you know, threshold or at the corner of this mountain? I will show you. Look on that mountain. I will show myself to you. One after the other, you know, there was thunder, lightning, you know, different sort of lights, and ranks of angels were coming. And Musa was asking, is this Allah? The angel says, persevere, Musa, persevere. You have asked for something great, right? And then finally, that tajalli, that theophany, that manifestation, that reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place. That little reflection, wasayaqa, and Musa goes unconscious. He falls and he goes unconscious completely. Right. So then after that, the verse says that, you know, Allah is someone who cannot be seen. But this means that there are different levels of the manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here when Hazrat Amir is saying that, O Ali, get ready for death. Because when the body leaves when the soul leaves this body and it enters barzakh, you know, he sees the glory of the Lord in a different way. It's a completely different perspective. It's on a different realm altogether. Although, while living here, persons, you know, awliya, the perfect man, they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we find traditions that Hazrat, you know, the imams, when they were doing the talbiyah before Hajj, they would go unconscious while saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Or, for example, while reciting, you know, Maliki Yawmiddin, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam would go unconscious, you know, and would say that I have seen the Lord of the Day of Judgment, and the body doesn't have the capacity to really see, and it goes unconscious. Imam, the slave of the sixth Imam, comes and sprinkle water upon the face of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, "Oh, Abd, what did you do? I was in perfect communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was in connection with God, you know, without this worldly connection, you know, connecting on that barzaki level, connecting on that spiritual level. You know, we really wonder what they see, you know, on that level in terms of their spirituality." I had a friend who was a doctor, a physician, and he was a doctor for Ayatollah Saadat Parvar. He was known as Ayatollah Pahlawani. He was mentioning that Ayatollah Pahlawani, I asked him to sleep. He has sleeping issues. He doesn't sleep, you know, 2-3 hours of sleep. Then Ayatollah Pahlawani says to him, "How can I sleep where I could hear, you know, the tasbihat, you know, the chirpings of the bird, the sounds of the, you know, the nahar, you know, the rivers that are flowing." You know, so in the khutbah of Amirul Mu'mineen, Muttaqeen, khutbah Amirul Mu'mineen, khutbah Muttaqeen, it's known as the sermon of Muttaqeen, the pious ones. I think it's sermon number 91. Maybe some of the Nahjul Balagha differs, you know, 91, 92, in which it says, Muttaqeen, the pious ones are those who are already in Jannah. It is as if they are in Jannah. So a person who is Muttaqi, a person who is God-weary, God-conscious, is not in this dunya. He's already in Jannah. I mean, this very state of ours is nothing but being in Jannah, right? Where every nafas, where every breath of ours is tasbih, is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? The Prophet have mentioned that a person who is fasting, and in the month of fasting, that your nafas, your breathing is tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So this is nothing but Jannah itself on a level for us, right? So when Hazrat Amir is mentioning that I have lived a life so far which I have lived in forgetfulness, that doesn't mean that nauzubillah he was forgetful, but forgetful from perhaps on a, you know, greater level of those jalal and jamalat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't seen to me, right? In this very munajat of Shabaniya, Hazrat Amir says, "Ilahi Habli kamalul inqita ilayk wa anir absaru qulubina bidiyaya nadariha ilayk." Oh Allah, provide me the kamal of inqita, the perfection of disconnection, that I be disconnected. Even from what I am seeing, I should be disconnected. Because tawheed is nafi an sifat. Tawheed is where you negate all the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Tawheed. Although Allah is Rahman, Rahim, Ghafoor, you know, Musawwir, you know, Basit, Qafiz, you know, all the names are there of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And its meanings are there. But true Tawheed is Nafi an Sifat, where you subtract, where you take away all of the Sifat. He's sublime. He's above all sifat that one could really comprehend and imagine. That is true tawheed. You know, it is like as if it's a blind man. And for the blind man, you're trying to explain colors to him. You know, he doesn't know, right? So our understanding of tawheed, of God, is like that. You know, we are trying to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these reflections, through these manifestations that are there. But what is true Tawheed? That is why the Prophet would say, you know, Rabbi zidni ilman or Rabbi zidni fi hayra, increase in my astonishment, because God is astonishing, is fascinating, is unimaginable. One cannot imagine what God is. Even after knowing all of Quran, even after knowing, you know, the philosophical proofs and whatnot, they are there. But that witnessing, that seeing God is something else. And that is seen by the third eye, you know, by the inner eye, right? That is inside, that's the heart. That's why we mentioned the hadith of six imam. The Sufis, they say that you could see God on the day of judgment. The imam says, what do you mean on the day of judgment? You see God here in this very dunya. Right here, we see God. So, this is what we should aim for. Because the legacy have been left behind for us. You know, we make ourselves busy with few zikr, few namaz, few fast. We are here to really learn these ma'arif, to understand Tawheed on the level. On the level where the imams have taught us and they have left behind. You know, we got to challenge it. We got to ask. We got to investigate. Then, you know, we will have weight in our prayers. Then we will enjoy ibadah. Then the life will have a meaning to it. You know, the whole life is nothing but that. To really know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal nas, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan fa mulaqi. O Nas, O people, you are on a journey to really meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To meet Allah is to know Allah. You know, if we don't know our destination, if we don't know Allah, how can we really, you know, have some sort of relationship or enjoyment or pleasure of that being? The more we recognize, the more we understand, you know, then the more we'll be able to appreciate and benefit at the same time from it. A person travels from Dallas in the presence of Ayatollah Sistani. He goes there and he asks, how many times a prayer shall I pray? You know, how many prayers are there in Islam? Right? So 5 daily prayers are there in Islam, right? If I'm a knowledgeable one, you know, I will go there and ask him something very philosophical, something very deep, because I have the knowledge of that. So now when we will be meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, if we satisfy ourselves with, yeah, I just want a bit of a ranch, you know, few slaves here, few huris there, and few things. What good is that? I want the jiware nabiyaka alayhim wa alayhim as-salam. I want to be in the neighborhood of Ahle Bayt alayhim as-salam. Allahum salli ala Muhammad. No, that's what we should ask for. This, when we are breaking fast, when we are fasting, these are the things to ask for. You know, they say, Jawadi Amali was mentioning that in Barzakh, during the whole year, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, tajalli takes place only once for the Mu'mineen. The Mu'mineen have the opportunity to see the reflection of Imam Hussein alayhi salam once a year. And after seeing the reflection, after seeing the face of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they are so happy that they wait for that moment to come that they could see Imam Hussein alayhi salam again. The reflection, not Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself. So we should ask for these things. Dunya is fani dike. You know, sooner or later we're gonna die, right? But we are ghafil of that. No, ghaflat. We are forgetful. And that's what Amirul Mu'mineen says, Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. He says, Hazrat Amir says, Kasi arzish baqiye umrish ra juz payambar ya siddiq nemishanasad. No one else except the Prophet and the truthful one doesn't recognize the value of the remaining life. They are the only one who would able to value life, how much it has remained. Whatever age I have reached, whatever age is remaining, the Prophet and the truthful one, Siddiq, they are able to value that. When we value that, then only will we able to make use of it. Ya Abazar, as the Prophet says, O Abazar, count five things before five things. No. Getting busy while you are free. No, as you are free, you know, count that, regard that, respect that, make use of it. Your youthfulness before you become old. Your life before you die. Right? Your property, your income, your money before you become poor. Right? So therefore, a prophet will be able to recognize the value of that age which is left, so that one is able to utilize and use it, so that one is not forgetful of that.
Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And the first thing that is required of us, obviously in this dua also pointed out to, as we are talking about ghaflat, is an nadmul qalb yukaffir adham. Nadm, that feeling of being sorry, of embarrassment, that, you know, look at me, so much time have been gone and I really have wasted it. That nadamat, you know, that feeling sorry for the time which is lost. Wal asr, inna linsana lafi khusr. This is period, that's it. Wal asr, by the time, inna linsana, inna as well, certainly, man is at loss, that's it, forget it. But alhamdulillah, illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawasu bil haqqi wa tawasu bis sabr. Sadaqallahu al-aliyyu al-adhim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. If it wasn't for iman, if it wasn't for amal salih, you know, man would be at loss. Right? So, an insan, as it comes from nisyan, as it comes from forgetfulness, he's always forgetful. It is very much required that he wakes up, you know, from this sleep of ghaflat. So in this riwayat, we are asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this riwayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out to that a person who would considered, who is considered as, you know, as on the position of the pleased ones, you know, mardiyin, that person is, for him, I will provide him with a quality of zikr, of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without ghaflat, without forgetfulness. Now this zikr, obviously we know what type of zikr. You know, a zikr without forgetfulness. And there are different levels of zikr. This doesn't mean that he's always doing zikr, like taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we were just doing the tafsir, you know, I really commend my dear brothers and sisters to be here at 7:30, so we do a bit of tafsir, you know, in which we said aqimus salat, you know, establish salat, because inna salata tanha anil fahsha wal munkar wa li dhikrullahi akbar, right? Establish prayers because salat is the one which will protect us from fahsha, you know, from indecency, corrupt actions, and also from munkar, from evil. Wa li dhikrullahi akbar. However, the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is akbar. So we are trying to look at what is this zikr. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who fasts, who will reach to that position, will be given the position or the quality of zikr without forgetfulness. What is zikr? Well, is zikrullah al-akbar. So the zikr is greater than, you know, than the salat itself, as the ayah is pointing out to. And we just mentioned the zikr, really, the sixth imam have mentioned that the zikr means the halal and haram. To know the halal and haram is the zikrullah, which is greater than salat itself, right? If I know what is halal and haram, then only my salat will be okay. If I don't know what is halal and haram, what good that salat is? Because if salat is accepted, all the other amals are accepted. So if the sixth imam is saying the zikrullah is really understanding what is halal and what is haram. That is zikrullah, and that is akbar. You know, that is greater, right? But other interpretations that we tend to find in regards to the zikrullah, however, prior to that, I'll just mention there is zikr, which is chanting by mouth. There is zikr amali, you know, by action. You know, a person act itself is zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? then there is a zikr sukut. A person is just quiet. He's not doing anything. But that sukut itself is zikr. No. That sukut itself is remembrance of God. For instance, Masumin alayhi salam, if a person, for instance, if he wipes his feet over the socks for a masab, for the masa of his feet, for the wiping of the feet, Imam is present there and he does that on top of the socks. And if Imam doesn't say anything, he is quiet, he's sukut, he's saket, he's not saying anything, he's doing sukut. That means his action is okay. It is allowed to wipe over the socks. It is halal. It is allowed to do so. However, it is not. I'm just giving an example, right? Example of a zikr, that is a person when he's quiet. You know, that is also a zikr. You know, being quiet. So you have the zikr lafzi, you know, then you have the zikr amali, and then you have the zikr qalbi, you know, which is sukut, which is quiet. Within the heart, you're doing that zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a matter of fact, you know, in a very beautiful hadith, Hazrat Amirul Mumineen describes what is this zikr really means. What is it really? Zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it? الذكر ليس من مراسم اللسان ولا من مناسم الفكر. Zikr is not a marasim. It's not a sort of like a habit or a exercise of lisan, of tongue. You know, zikr is chanting the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just by lisan or manasim al-fikr or something that is one could intellectualize. You know, that is what we call it zikr. Now I'm doing zikr, so I should remember Allah is Rahman. I'm intellectualizing it. And I'm saying Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahmanu. You know, Ya Ghafuru, for example. Right? Zikr is not that. Zikr is not that. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَوَّلٌ مِنَ الْمَذْكُورِ وَثَانِي مِنَ الذَّاكِرِ. But the first zikr is from madhkur. Allah does that zikr. And thani is zakir. And then after that, I do that zikr. So it is purely nothing but the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That has to be there. And that is what we ask for. Over and over again. And we have to remind us that it is Allah, whatsoever la mu'athira fil wujud illallah. The effect upon the existence, upon wujud, is nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even I am doing zikr is because He has done the zikr. He has remembered me and I have the opportunity to remember Him. In the tafsir of Surah Hamd, in Adabu Salat of Imam Khomeini, he points out to that this Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this Hamd itself, it is Allah who is doing Hamd first and then it is me who is doing Hamd afterwards. Is Allah who is praising first and then after I am praising, right? So this zikr that is there, it is an opportunity. It is Allah who does, and then after that I get that opportunity to do so. And that is why it is required that we always rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for tawfiqat and increase of our, you know, Allah that gives us opportunities. Many a times, you know, we are aware of things. You know, we know that night prayers is so good. You know, as Qazi Tabatabai, the Ustad Allama Tabatabai, when he goes to Najaf to study, Qadi comes, you know. Qadi says, agar dunya mein khai, namaz shab bekhun. Agar akhirat mein khai, namaz shab bekhun. He said, if you want the dunya, you pray namaz shab, the night prayers. If you want the akhirah, you pray night prayers. We all are aware of it. But unfortunately, there is no tawfiq. Really, Allah have to give us that tawfiq. We really have to ask Allah. These are the things to ask in du'as while breaking fast. Oh Allah, that's what we do, right? You know, give us tawfiq for hajj. Give us tawfiq for the ziyarat of Qabr Nabi. Give us tawfiq qatlan fi sabilik, that I will be killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taht al-liwa, under the banner of Rasul, under the banner of Wali, under the banner of the Imam. These are the things to ask for while we are fasting, right? Tawfiq of praying salat, layl. If I'm asking just the dunya, right? What if I ask something which will bring the dunya and also which will bring the akhirah, which is night prayers? I'm focusing so much upon a thing that I want, but I'm not asking for something that will bring that thing very itself, that thing itself. He says, that's Salatul Layl. So sometimes we are aware of things. Ziyarah, this zikr, that zikr. But unfortunately, we don't have that hal, state. What sort of hal nadarim barain kara? We are awake. Sahari time, we are awake to do the sahari. But what about night prayers? We don't bother. It's just there. Right? We got to really do these things. We are aware of, we got to put that. For that, we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He puts that in our heart. That tawfiq should be put in our heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is zikr. Now, moving a bit further to explain, as we said, the wali dhikrullah al akbar, what does it really mean? It means that in another verse, wa aqimus salat li dhikri, establish prayers in order for my dhikr. One interpretation of it is that you are establishing prayers in order the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is established. But the other explanation, or a deeper explanation, the exegist say that li dhikri means that when you are establishing prayer, it is actually my zikr. That means your prayer is becoming my zikr. Wale zikrullah al akbar means the zikr which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing is akbar. Not the zikr that I am doing is akbar. Wale zikrullah, the zikr which Allah is doing is akbar, obviously. I am doing zikr. Someone who is my ustad, I am praying. My ustad is praying. My teacher. His prayer kuja, my prayer kuja. His zikr kuja, my zikr kuja, right? So therefore, the zikrullah al-akbar means that the zikr which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing is akbar. But which zikr is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing? Aqimus salat. When you establish the prayers, He is doing your zikr. That is why Imam Hussein's zikr, who does the zikr of Imam Hussein? It is Allah who is doing the zikr. When Allah is doing the zikr of Allah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is who could dare to wipe the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam from the universe? Because Allah is doing the zikr of Hussein. Because the way Hussein have established prayers, aqimu salat li zikri, not that Allah's zikr be established by your prayers. What our prayers, with our prayers Allah's zikr will be established? No, it is the prayers of Hussein. When Hussein is establishing that prayers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing the zikr. That is the zikr. So radiin, those who are the pleased ones from Allah, the station, the maqam of the pleasurable ones, those who are radi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, radan bi qadahi wa tasliman li amri. That's what they mean. They are the one whom Allah provides with a type of zikr without any forgetfulness at all. And their zikr will always remain. Hussein's zikr will always remain. That type of zikr, a zikr, a remembrance of Allah, where he will never forget. He will always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But where did it start? Ya Ahmad, do you know the Mirath al-Sawm? He says, no. Then the Prophet said, then Allah says, the mirath of Sawm, the essence of Sawm is that you eat little, that you speak little. When you eat little and speak little, you will achieve wisdom, hikmat, samt, you'll achieve hikmat. When you will achieve hikmat, then you will be provided with ma'rifat, with understanding. And when you will be provided with ma'rifat and understanding, yaqeen will be given to you. You will have yaqeen when you have knowledge, when you have ma'rifat. When you will have yaqeen, then you will care less how you will make the morning. Whether you will make the morning in a joyous or happily or sad, it doesn't really matter to you in what state you are. Because you have yaqeen. Because Allah is the provider and Allah is the caretaker. I don't really care Whether I'm happy or sad, it doesn't make any difference. When you reach to that maqam, then that is the station of maradiyin, those who are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will provide them with three qualities. The first quality that I will provide them with is a quality where they would do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any ignorance. They are the true shakirin. You know, that's why we ask for وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. In one of the prayers of the daily prayers of the month of Ramadan, we have in one of the prayers we do have where we ask that place us from those who are the thanksgiving ones, the thankful ones, right? The second quality of that you will be provided with is the quality where you will be given the zikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, all the time without any forgetfulness. All the time you will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will do the zikr. And not only the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, they say either it was Shaheed Thani or Shaheed Al-Awwal, you know, from Lebanon. They're both Shaheed who have written the books Luma. The Luma is like a sort of brief version of Tawziul Masail, the practical laws. And then you have Shar'e Luma, which is the commentary upon the Luma by the Shaheed Al-Thani, which explains in more with sort of more proofs and riwayat and traditions, the ahkam. They say that when they slaughtered Shaheed Awwal or Shaheed Al-Thani, when that blood started to flow in the river, they slaughtered him at the bank, the Usmaniyun. When they found out that he was a Shia, although he was teaching in the university there and he was an expert in all fiqh, in Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, in Jafari as well. But eventually they found out he was a Shia. They imprisoned him and he wrote the Luma on the walls with blood. And then finally they slaughtered him. When they slaughtered him, when the stream was flowing in the river, the writings of La ilaha illallah were coming. So when a person is always doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every nafas of his, it could be practice, the breathing practice. Many of us might have attended the class of yoga, right? Concentrating on the breathing. If our every breath says La ilaha illallah, our mouth could be closed as well. The zikr of La ilaha illallah is so unique. There is no show off in the zikr. There's no riya. That is why it is one of the greatest zikr. Every zikr that doesn't have riya, it is the greatest zikr. Fasting, there's no riya in fasting. Nobody knows here who is not fasting. I think everybody is fasting, right? Alhamdulillah, inshallah, right? Nobody knows. But a person who is praying, we could see a person is praying. Dallin masalan, he says in a very Arabic fashion, you know, wants to show himself, right? Wants to show off his Arabic, for instance, right? His riya. But a person is fasting, you cannot. That is why they ask Abu Hanifa, which is greater, fasting or prayers? He says, fasting is greater. Then the Imam said, when the woman is in menses, she is not supposed to repeat the prayers, but she is supposed to repeat the fasting. Why is that? Right? They are Ahl Bayt, are the Ulul Ilm. They have the true knowledge. They have the true understanding. So every dhikr that is hidden, that is, there is no show off in it, that have a greater value. Sadaqah and charity. If you give charity without letting anybody know, that has a more value, more sawab for it. Fasting is the same action. So zikr la ilaha illallah, if my mouth is closed, I could be saying la ilaha illallah. No, but if I'm saying Subhanallah, that requires some things. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Other adhkar that are there, you know, that requires that lips to really meet and pronounce it. But I could really close my mouth and I could do the zikr of La ilaha illallah. So if one practice that every nafas, every breath he's taking, that has the zikr, continuously practice that, then the whole flesh and blood of insan could become that very ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That is why the Prophet is known as, you know, Mathkur, Anta Mudakkir. The Prophet, he himself is the reminder, because he has remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that he himself have become the reminder. that when people used to look at the Prophet, they will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he has become that. So that is the second thing, that the quality will be provided. And the third thing, I'll just mention in the detail tomorrow, and that is the love will be given to them. A type of love that no love will overpower that love. That type of love. But what is this muhabbat? Inshallah, we'll try to deal with in our future discussion. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi tahirin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma nawwir zahiri bita'atik. Ya Allah, make our zahir with full of your obedience. Wa batini bi muhabbatik. Make my batin with full of your love. Wa qalbi bi marifatik. Make my qalb, make my heart with your knowledge. Bi marifatik. Wa ruhi bi mushahidatik. Make my spirit see you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وروحي بمشاهدتك وسر الاستغلال اتصالي بحضرتك. And provide me with the secret of that اتصال, of that connection to you, يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. وصلى الله على محمد وعليه الطاهرين. رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة لأرواح المؤمنين أو المؤمنات, especially the مرحومين of the brothers and sisters who are present here, the مرحومين of the volunteers and the sponsors of the Iftar Niyaz tonight, all together with the loud Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
We have like 5 minutes before the Azan Maghrib. In fact, just 4 now. So please get.